What's in a name? You ask Romeo and Juliet, and a rose by any other name still smells as sweet. But the fact of the matter is, we're not flowers or roses, we're people. And names are very important to people. That's why prospective parents take time to pick out a name for their new child. Now, I checked online this week to see what the most popular names were in 2009. They're not out for 2010 yet because we're not done. But 2009, what the most popular name for boys and girls were. So I want to tell you what the most popular names for the boys and girls that were born in 2009. Now, 2009, the most popular name for a little boy being born was? No? No? John. No? How did you know? I mean, the most popular name for a little boy was Ethan. Isn't that interesting? Ethan. Second, Jacob. Third, Noah. And fourth, Logan. Those were the top four names for a little boy. The most popular name for a little girl was? No? No? No?
Lillian.
No? Some of them were. The most popular name for a little girl in 2009 was Isabella. Second was Olivia. Third was Sophia. And number four was Emma. Then I looked for my name. My real name, if you don't know, is Lloyd. And once again, I did not make the top 1,000. My name made the list. The last time it made the list was back in 2001, and Lloyd came in at 934th in 2001. And then I looked for my middle name, and it didn't make the top 1,000 either, and I thought, oh my. Now, my son and daughter-in-law are expecting. So I asked them last week, if it's a boy, are you considering it naming, you know, taking maybe one of my names? And they assured me that they were.
Sutherland.
That Sutherland is going to be one of the names of the kid. Names are important. And I'll tell you, names were very, very important in biblical times. Very, very important. Over 700 years before the Christ was born, the prophet Isaiah prophesied, a virgin would conceive a child and bear a son, and she would call his name Emmanuel. The name Emmanuel only occurs three times in the Bible. It occurs once in Isaiah 7:14. It occurs another time in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 8, and it occurred 700 years later. An angel came to the man called Joseph in a dream and told him not to fear to take Mary as his wife, for the child which had been conceived in her was of the Holy Spirit, and she would bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And all this, the angel said, was to fulfill what was told to Isaiah and prophesied by Isaiah, that a virgin would be with a child and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. And then it adds here, which translated means God with us. And I want to concentrate on this morning. Emmanuel. What does it mean? And you say, well, Pastor, tells us what it means. God with us. Well, That's true. And theologically, and there's so much you can say about that, theologically, it means God with us. But what I want to ask this morning, what does it mean to us? What does it mean, Emmanuel, to us who are here in the 21st century? What does it mean, Emmanuel? And I want to share with you five truths. I think this very practical truths about what this means. You shall call his name Emmanuel. What does it mean to us? Number one, Emmanuel means that to look at Jesus is to see God. To look at Jesus is to see God. A little boy was out walking with his dad, and he looked up and he said, "Dad, is God up there?" And his dad said, "Yeah, he is, son. He really is." And he said, the little boy responded, "I wish he'd stick his head out so I could see him." But you know what, folks? In the incarnation, God did much more than stick his head out. He actually came down and was born. In John 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then down to verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." That we beheld his glory. Like, and I love, and I'll say this probably every time, but I love the Message translation, the paraphrase. "And the Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood." Because that's what God did. God moved into our neighborhood. He came to this earth. You see, no man had seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. He has explained him. The word is he's exegeted God. So that to see, to look at Jesus is to see God. Some of you are old enough to remember Art Linkletter and his house party. I'm not that old. I saw some reruns. But I remember seeing one of the reruns. And they'd have the kids' corner. And the little children, they'd bring on the program. And they handed out a piece of paper and some crayons and said, "We want you to make a drawing. Draw whatever you want to draw." And one of the little boys says, "Boy, he's just working up a storm, and he's drawing, he's getting the colors, and he's drawing." And Art Linkletter walked over to him. He said, "Boy, you're really working hard." He said, "Yeah, I am." He said, well, "What are you drawing?" "I'm drawing God." And Art Linkletter kind of goes, a little smile, and he says, "You know what? Little boy, nobody knows what God looks like. They will when I'm done." You know what? No man had seen God at any time. But Jesus came. And he explained him. He declared him. He is the image of the invisible God. He made God, the invisible God, visible. What's God like? You want to know what God's like? Look at Jesus. What's God's compassion like? I was reading about it yesterday in Luke. See that leper that Dr. Luke says was full of leprosy. I mean, he was in the advanced stages of leprosy. I can see his fingers are all eaten away. I can see the open lesions on his face and on his arms. And I can see those rags that were all bound around him. I can see I can smell the smell of that leper coming to Jesus and falling down and saying, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me whole." See the compassion of God. Because Jesus could have said, "Be whole," and he would have been cleansed. But Jesus reaches out and touches him and says, "Be whole." See the compassion of God. Does God care? See the care of God. Watch Jesus as he feeds the 5,000 and feeds the 4,000. What's the forgiveness of God like? See those Pharisees marching that woman who was caught in the very act of adultery up to Jesus and saying, Lord, we caught this woman in the very act of adultery, and Moses said we should stone her. What do you say? Watch him. Bend down and start writing in the dirt. Watch him stand up and say, you who are without sin, cast the first stone. Watch them, beginning from the old down to the youngest, slither away until the only one left is that woman and Jesus. Hear him say, woman, where are those who accuse you? Where are your accusers? There are none, Lord. Neither do I condemn you. Go your way. Sin no more. Watch his forgiveness. Watch him on the cross when he says, Lord, forgive those jokers. Forgive those guys. They don't know what they've done. What is the forgiveness of God? Look at Jesus. What is God's righteousness like? Watch Jesus in the wilderness. After he's been there for 40 days without food, watch the serpent slither up. And watch Jesus, watch him resist temptation of the devil himself with the word of God. Watch and look at his spotless, sinless, impeccable life. And see the righteousness and holiness of God. What's God's love look like? Watch Jesus. Watch him. Allow men to put nails through his hands and feet. And put him on a cross. As you've heard before, and it's true, the nails did not hold Jesus on the cross. The love of God did. Amen. And he said, I love you this much. What's the power of God like? Watch him walk out of the grave. Folks, Emmanuel means to look at Jesus is to see God. Wow. And that's what he wants us to be like himself. A second thing Emmanuel means. Emmanuel means that God understands and cares about us. When you go through difficulties, when you go through pain, when you go through suffering, there's one who understands and cares, and that's Emmanuel. As you heard, as some people shared here this morning, this past year has been really a difficult year for some here in the body of Christ. Some of you, it's the most difficult year you've ever gone through in your life. Some have lost loved ones. Some have gone through family problems like never before. Some have lost their jobs. Gone through so much. You know, when you go through times like that, at least in my life, the people that could comfort me the most were people that had gone through hard times too. And some of them that had gone through either the same thing I had gone through or similar difficulties. It's the people that have been there that can really minister. Well, you know what Emmanuel means? Jesus has been there. Amen. Hebrews 4:15 says, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one that has been tempted and tested in all ways as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 2:18 says, for in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. We have someone in heaven that understands and he cares about us. He cared enough about us not to just throw it on a track from heaven, but to actually come down himself in human flesh to meet our needs. He knows firsthand. You know what? He knows firsthand what poverty is. You see, he was born and laid in a borrowed stable. He went through his life in poverty. He said he was homeless, Ernie. He never had a home. Said, the birds of the air have nests, the foxes have holes, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. When he came to Jerusalem, he had a borrowed donkey to ride in. He had a borrowed room to celebrate the Last Supper. And when he died, they had to borrow a tomb to lay him in. I'll tell you, he knows what it is to be poor. He knows what it is to live in poverty. He has experienced in the flesh what is to be human and to live in a fallen world, a world of pain and suffering. And I thought about that hymn, Does Jesus Care? Remember that hymn? Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long? Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for my deep grief I find no relief, though my tears flow all the night long? Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? And my sad heart aches until it nearly breaks? Is it aught to him? Does he see? And then the hymn writer answers his own questions. Yes, he cares. He really cares. His heart is touched with my grief. Though the days grow weary and the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. How do I know? Emmanuel. Emmanuel means that he understands what you're going through. And he cares. He really does. A third thing Emmanuel means. Emmanuel means we do not need to fear any longer. We don't need to fear. You know, when I was a little boy, I grew up out in, out away from the city. We had a big woods in the back of my house. Big woods. And in that woods, there was an old house that had burnt down. And I don't know, as a little boy, how I got the idea, but I always thought that house was haunted. Or at least, if it wasn't haunted, it probably had snakes in it. And I was always afraid to go back in there. And back in the woods, I'll tell you, especially at night, you couldn't get me in those woods at night. I'd even dream about it. I mean, it was a fear that I had. But you know what, folks? If my dad were with me, if my dad were holding my hand, I'd go in those woods. I'd go back to that house. It didn't matter. If my dad was there, there was no fear. And you know, I'll tell you what, Emmanuel. People today have a lot of fears. You know, people today fear the world situation. They fear terrorist attacks. Right now, there's a lot of people fearing what's going to happen to our military after Don't Ask, Don't Tell was repealed yesterday. A lot of people fear that they're going to lose their jobs. A lot of people are afraid now even to walk down the street at night. A lot of fears. But folks, have you ever noticed in the Christmas accounts all the fear nots? Have you ever seen them? Zacharias in the temple, the angel comes, and what's he say? Don't fear, Zacharias. Your prayer has been heard. The angel comes to Mary. What's he say? Mary, don't fear. You have found favor with God. Here in our text this morning, Joseph, in a dream, what's the angel say? Don't fear, Joseph, to take Mary as your wife, for that which is in her is of the Holy Spirit. The shepherds, when the angels come, what is the first thing they say? Don't fear, for I bring you tidings of great joy. Do you ever notice all the fear nots? Why is that? Emmanuel. God's with us. You see, we don't have to fear life's problems. We don't have to fear life's problems. Why? Because the scripture says, fear thou not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. I'm your God. I will help you. Surely I will strengthen you. Surely I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Don't fear. When thou passest through the waters, I will be, what? Emmanuel, with you. And through the rivers, they'll not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you'll not be burned. Neither shall flame kindle upon you. God says, listen, not if you walk through the waters, when? Because we all go through waters. But he's there. He's Emmanuel. He is my refuge and my strength and a very present help in time of need. He's Emmanuel. We don't have to fear life's difficulties. We don't have to fear life's future. We don't have to fear the future, folks. You look at, oh man, what's going to happen? Don't have to fear. Something that new that I learned this year. Do you see here in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23? There's Emmanuel. Matthew starts off with Emmanuel. But hold your hand here in Matthew 1. Turn to the last chapter of Matthew. Turn to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Very interesting. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, what? Emmanuel, I'm with you, even till what? End of the age. You see, I don't need to fear the present. In the present, I need not fear because Emmanuel is here. But I don't need to fear the future. The future I do not need to fear because Emmanuel is already
here.
There. Here. Okay, let me say here, there. Everywhere. He's Emmanuel. See, Matthew begins with Emmanuel. It ends with Emmanuel. He's in the beginning. He's in the end. We don't have to fear the future. He's there. We don't have to fear life's problems. We don't have to fear life's future. And you know what, folks? We don't have to fear life's end. Put this verse down if you're taking notes. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. Listen to what it says. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. See what he's saying? Christ died so that we don't have to fear death. Because he died, we're going to live. And that's why it says in one of the most beautiful portions of Scripture, Psalm 23 and verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? Emmanuel, thou art you see, he dispels all fear. Just like holding my dad's hand going through those woods, nothing's going to get me because my dad's here. I'm going to tell you what, nothing's going to hurt us ultimately because Emmanuel is here.
Thank you.
Emmanuel means we don't have to fear any longer. Number four, this is a big one. Emmanuel means we can have perfect contentment. This is big, folks, because we live in a covetous world. Amen?
Yes.
We live in a covetous world. Every commercial you see on TV, every billboard you see along the road, every advertisement in the magazines or newspapers is there to incite covetousness in our hearts. The message shouts out to us, if you don't have this product, you're missing out. Did anybody see the commercial lately? There's a guy that comes out with his wife into the driveway, and there in the driveway is a new car with the bow on it. And she goes, oh, and he's, yeah, Liz, and she's looking at it. And then somebody drives a Pontiac, I think it is, down the street. A Buick, yeah, that is a Buick, that's right. Buick what? I don't know, it's Buick drives it. And they look at the Buick and it's like, oh. I'm thinking, that's a new car. I'd love to have a new car. And they see another new car and it's like, oh, gee, that's dumb. That's only a Ford or a whatever. And look at that, what was it, a Buick. Look at that new, oh. That's the world. That's it. If you don't have this, you're missing out. And you know, if you really want your wife to love you, buy something from K Jewelers. Oh, and she'll really love you, man. Oh, what's the saying? Dun, 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 the K's. Is it Jared's? I messed that one up. Well, it's one of them. I mean, you just gotta have this. But you know what Hebrews 13:5 says? Let your conversation be without covetousness. Let your lifestyle be without covetousness and be content with what you have. How can you do that in this world? The next verse. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Emmanuel. See, the opposite of covetousness is contentment. Now, not complacency. Don't get those mixed up. Not complacency, contentment. Say, what's contentment? Now, this is my definition, but I think it's your sense of security and happiness and well-being. Has nothing to do with the stuff of this world. Amen. Has nothing to do with how much you have or how much you don't have. It's a settled security and peace and joy that has nothing to do with the stuff of this world. The source of contentment is the presence of Christ. I'll never leave you, he says. I'll never forsake you. If you have Jesus, you have it all.
Amen.
I think of a person walking up to Bill Gates and saying, Mr. Gates, I'd like to give you this dime. A dime? What's a dime when you got a billion? Or how many billions of billions? It's nothing. What's the junk of this world if you have Jesus? You see, Jesus is the source of all peace, joy, love, hope. He said, my peace I give unto you. He said, Father, I pray that you might take my joy and make it full in them. He took the Holy Spirit, the love of God is poured out in our life through the Holy Spirit that's been given to us. And Paul says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. We have peace. We have joy. We have love. We have hope. We have every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. We have all of his precious and magnificent promises.
Amen.
If you have Christ, you have it all. And the stuff of this world does not satisfy. Life does not consist of the accumulation of stuff in this world. It doesn't. You can try that. You can go after the toys of the world. You go after all the toys. I'll tell you what, they'll leave your heart empty. But Christ fills it. And he gives us contentment. Emmanuel. You know what? I've got something that the world can't give. And the world can't take it away. I've got something that the world can't give, and it keeps me day by day. I've got something worth talking about. Makes me sing, makes me shout. I've got something that the world can't give, and the world can't take it away. I've got contentment in Christ. And I'll tell you what a blessing. And it's all because, Emmanuel, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Five and last. Emmanuel means Jesus is qualified to be our Savior. Again, Matthew chapter 1. I want you to see this. It's very interesting what it says here in verses 21, 22, and 23 of Matthew chapter 1. Because two things are linked here. In Matthew 21, the angel tells Joseph, she will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with it. Wait a second. I thought he was supposed to be called Jesus. But they'll call his name Emmanuel. They're linked. They're linked. You see, Jesus would save his people from their sins. But the only one that could save the people from his sins was Emmanuel. You see, we as humanity, we as people, have all sinned. We belong to a fallen race. The wages of sin is death, eternal separation from God. It's an eternal penalty. Man owed an eternal debt, which man could not pay. Only God, an eternal God, could pay the debt. But God did not owe the debt. Man owed the debt. So God became man to pay the debt. Jesus, he shall save his people from their sins. Emmanuel, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. For God so loved the world that he gave God the Son to die on Calvary's cross, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I love this. Whenever you think of the cradle, you have to think of the cross. Whenever you see a manger, you have to see Mount Calvary. Because that's why he came. Yeah. But he wouldn't have been, if he were not Emmanuel, he wouldn't be qualified. He couldn't pay that eternal debt. Only God in the flesh could pay the debt. Ann Spangler, in a book called The Names of God, writes, when our sins made it impossible for us to come to him, God took the outrageous step of coming to us, of making himself susceptible to sorrow, familiar with temptation, vulnerable to sin's disruptive power in order to cancel its claims. In Jesus, listen to this, in Jesus, we see how extreme the love of God is. In Jesus, God would succeed in a unique way, becoming a man in order to save the world, not from the outside, but from the inside. See, salvation is an inside job. God came into our race to save us. Emmanuel, God with us, to rescue, to redeem, to restore our relationship with Him. Ah, that's what God did for us. What one? What God would do that? What one God would do that? It's only one. You know, talk about the Muslim faith. Allah asks you to give your son for Him. Jehovah God gave His son for us. Amen. Just like the hymn says, Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time behold Him come, offspring of the virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Mild, hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness, light in life to all He brings, risen with healing in His wings. Mild He lays His glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. That's it. That's it. That's why He was born. He was born to die so that we might be born again, so that we might live. That's why He came. What does Emmanuel mean? Emmanuel means to look at Jesus is to see God. Emmanuel means that God understands what you're going through and He cares about you. Emmanuel means I don't have to be afraid anymore. I don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid anymore. Not of life's stresses or distresses, nor the future, nor even death. Emmanuel means, you know what? In this covetous world, where it's all around us, I can have contentment. I can have peace, love, joy, hope, everything the world's looking for in the wrong places, I have in Jesus. We have in Jesus. And Emmanuel means that Jesus qualifies to be your Savior, to be our Savior. Emmanuel, God with us. But you know, there's something that is more blessed than that. There's something better than God with us. Do you know what it is? God in us. Amen. Oh. That when we come to Christ and we're willing to stop going our way and we turn to go God's way and we believe in Christ that He died for us and rose from the dead, that Emmanuel comes to reside in our heart. God with us, that's Christmas. God in us, that's Christian. Do you know Him? What a wonderful treasure. I think most of you do know Him. But maybe someone here today, you have never taken Christ into your heart. I want to tell you today, He's here. And if you will believe in him and open your heart by faith, he'll come into your life today. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, we